going to take our Bibles out to the book of Acts here this evening, Acts chapter number 8, and I want you to locate verse number 26. That's where we're going to start tonight, Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse number 26 tonight. I trust this message tonight will be a blessing to us. I think throughout this lesson tonight or this message tonight, there is going to be a lot of application, a lot of ways in which we can apply some of the truths that we see here from Acts chapter 8 to our lives, and the Lord would help us with that. Acts chapter 8, and we will start in verse number 26. And just to get us caught up to where we're at, just in this chapter, just in Acts chapter 8, we, on the first message in Acts chapter 8, we dealt with verses 1 through 8. Verse 1 through 8. And you'll notice in verse number 1 of chapter 8, the Bible says that Saul was consenting unto his death. Of course, the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution. So we talked about the suffering of the Christians. The Christians were facing great suffering here in the church, in the city of Jerusalem there. And then as they were facing this time of suffering, they're still sorrowing for Stephen as well. So we saw number 2. This was several weeks ago when we preached from verse 1 through 8. We saw the suffering of the Christians and then the sorrow for Stephen because they had just lost Stephen. He had been stoned to death. And as a Christian, of course, they're sorrowing for him. And they sorrow just like they would for any other person that had lost their life. But certainly somebody that lost their life in a little bit of a lost their life for serving the Lord and for really doing nothing contrary to disobey in any way. And so the sorrowing for Saul. And then number 3, we talked about the scattering of the church. See, God uses this persecution. Now, we might look at that persecution. We may say, well, it sounds like a whole lot of tragedy. But God used it for triumph because now the church leaves the city of Jerusalem and scattered to the regions around, the regions beyond. And so the scattering of the church, they scatter about, the Bible says, and they're taking the Bible and they're taking the word in different places. So they're scattered about doing that. And then we talked about at the end of that message several weeks ago, we talked about the spreading of the gospel. So now there's a man named Philip. The Bible tells us Philip in verses 1 through 8. Takes the Bible, takes the gospel, and begins to spread the gospel. And he spreads it to Samaria. And so Philip, this man that was chosen to be a deacon in Acts chapter number 6, he takes the word of God and really becomes an evangelist. Now he's spreading the word of God, spreading the gospel to Samaria. And that's where we picked up last Sunday night because when he got into Samaria, we saw several things that took place when Philip begins to spread the word of God in Samaria. First of all, we talked about last Sunday night, we talked about the control of Satan. Satan had control over a man named Simon, who the Bible says was a sorcerer, really were practicing witchcraft. And so the Bible tells us that he was under the control of Satan, but he had led the entire city of Samaria to be. So we talked about the control of Satan, and then we went on to talk about the conversion of sinners. So even though they were under the control of Satan, now the sinners were being converted because Philip was coming and he was preaching the gospel. And so these Samaritans, which remember, by the way, the Jews hated them, didn't they? Oh, they had a hatred in their heart for the Samaritans. We remember back to John chapter 4 when Jesus meets that Samaritan woman by the well, doesn't he? He didn't have hatred in his heart towards the Samaritans, did he? Instead, he presents the gospel to that lady at the well. And Philip does the same thing. He begins to preach there in Samaria. The Jews had hated the Samaritans. The word of God was now being spread and the Samaritans were believing. But in addition to the Bible saying the Samaritans had received the word of God and they were converted. Who else was converted? Remember last Sunday night? Simon, that sorcerer, believed and he put his faith and trust in the Lord and he was converted as well. So we saw what again seemed like tragedy and God turned it into triumph. Here's the control of Satan in the lives of these Samaritans or the people of Samaria there and then also this Simon, the sorcerer. But then they're converted. The sinners become converted as Philip. And then we talked about the confirmation of the Spirit. Last Sunday night when we met together, we said that the Spirit of God did not come onto the lives of those believers there in Samaria until the apostles came. They had left the city of Jerusalem. Remember, the apostles had stayed in the city of Jerusalem when the others spread around. They had stayed in the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us now the apostles come, and because they confirm the Holy Spirit on the lives of these believers, it provides unity for the church. Not only unity for the church, but unity for those believers as well, because the apostles come and they approve the fact that the gospel has been spread by this evangelist named Philip. He spread the gospel. these Samaritans are believing. And the Bible tells us as the apostles approve of the salvation and the belief of these Samaritans, they lay their hands on them. The Bible tells the Holy Spirit comes to live within the lives of those believers. And here's really what that approval did. It allowed the Samaritans and the Jewish Christians to not be distinct in any way, but instead were linked together in their faith. And then at the end of our message last week, as we finished up to verse number 25, we talked about the confusion of Simon, how that Simon the sorcerer was confused into believing as he saw those apostles lay hands on those Samaritan Christians. He was confused into believing that if I would just do that, if God would, if somehow you would be able to give me that power, I will give you money in return. And the confusion of Simon believing that with the ability to just hand the apostles money, he could somehow buy the power of God. Certainly we understand that that would not be true. We can't buy the power of God, but we certainly do want God's power in our lives, don't we? And then we come to verse number 26, and we're going to see Philip as he continues to preach several things here in verse 26, all the way down to the end of the chapter. And now we're studying on Sunday nights, we're studying the book of Acts verse by verse. So I'd like to take the time to look at these verses in Acts chapter number 8. We'll start in verse number 26, and I'd like us to go down to the end of the chapter here in Acts chapter number 8. And there's several things I want us to notice tonight. I want us to notice about Philip, this evangelist who God is using to see great and mighty things done in the work of the Lord. I want us to notice, first of all, about Philip tonight. I want us to notice the obedience of Philip. I want us to notice the obedience of Philip. Would you maybe perhaps even in your heart jot down these thoughts, or maybe even on a piece of paper, jot down these thoughts tonight from Acts chapter number 8, because I want us to make application of this tonight. I want us to apply some things tonight. Number one, the obedience of Philip. Let's look at what the Bible says in verse number 26, if you would. Verse number 26 of Acts chapter number 8. Let's notice what it says. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." Now again, this is the same Philip that's seeing this great revival take place in Samaria. The Bible says the angel of the Lord speaks unto him. And he says, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert." Now we're going to follow on here. Look with me if you would at verse number 27. Notice this. "And he arose and went." The first thing I want us to notice tonight, we're going to keep reading, so keep your eyes down there. We're going to keep reading. But notice the Bible says he arose and he went. Now, there's an application I want to pull from this. I'll say it a little bit later in the message. So just keep your mind, keep your heart centered on what happens here. Philip is told by an angel of the Lord to go. And the Bible says in verse number 27, he arose and he went. Now, notice this. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure." So let's just say this about this eunuch. He had a very important position. He was in charge of the treasure of this queen of Ethiopia, whose name was Candace. And the Bible tells us that this Ethiopian eunuch, verse 27, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So let's be mindful of where we're at here. Philip's been told by an angel to go. The Bible says he rises up. He goes to where he runs into this Ethiopian eunuch who had gone to Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping. It tells us his job title. It tells us how important that job title is. And then look with me, if you would, at verse number 28. "Was returning." So this eunuch was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So here he's in his chariot, and the Bible tells he's reading from the prophet, from the prophecy, that's given in the book of Isaiah. So here he's reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Bible tells us in verse number 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot." So now this is the second time in which the Bible us that Philip is given a specific task to do. Did you notice that in the verses we've read? This is now the second time he's been told to do something. In verse number 26, he was told to go. And then he arose and he went in verse 27. And then in verse number 29, he was told to go near and join thyself to this chariot. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 30, and we'll read just the first half of the verse, verse number 30. It says, and Philip ran thither to him. What do we see as a picture of Philip there? We see his obedience. So not only was he told to go, and the Bible tells us he gets up and he goes where God told him to go. But then in verse number 29, he's told to join himself of that eunuch who was reading from the book of Isaiah. The Bible tells us, and he joins himself to that chariot. So two acts of obedience we see in the life of Philip here. So we're concentrating on the obedience of Philip. Two acts of obedience. Here's what Philip gives us a wonderful picture of, really a wonderful example of, and really an application for our life as well, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. When God leads, when God directs, when God gives us a task to do, when God calls us in some way, let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us an angel comes to him. The Bible tells us in verse number 29 that then the Spirit said unto Philip. So Philip was sensitive to the voice of God. He's sensitive to the Spirit of God. He's sensitive to the leading of his life. He is following the leadership of the Lord. Can I encourage you tonight? I guess by way of application, that we would follow the leadership of the Lord in our lives. May we let the Lord be our guide. May we let the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us and direct us and follow the leadership of the Lord. Let's not try to do things on our own. Let's not try to do things without seeking counsel from the Lord and letting Him direct us, letting Him guide us, letting Him lead us. You'll notice as Philip obeyed, because we're talking about Philip's obedience. Now notice this. As Philip obeyed, God revealed the next step in his will. Isn't that just like God? As we obey, he reveals the next step in his will for our lives. It reminds me of the verse in Psalm 37, verse 23, where the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So here's what happens in our story. Starting verse number 26, the Bible says the angel of the Lord came to Philip, and Philip got up, and Philip went. But then when Philip gets to where he's supposed to go, then what does the Bible do? What does the Bible tell us God does? He reveals to him the next step. Now, Philip's never going to get to the second step until he's obeyed the first, right? That's just the same in our lives. Again, another great application for us. If we're not willing to obey the Holy Spirit of God in each and every step He gives to us, He will not be able to give future steps for you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We've got to follow the steps and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives and as He guides us, as He directs us. So you'll notice in the as Philip was willing to obey, God would reveal the next step to him. So he followed the first step that God said. He got up and he went. And then when he got to that chariot, the Bible says, all right, now God, now this is what I want you to do now. I want you to go and I want you to join yourself to that chariot. And then the Bible tells us Philip obeys at that point as well. And he goes and he joins himself to the chariot. Now, I want you to notice a word that's nestled in the midst of this passage of Scripture that we are just now reading from the first part of this tonight. I want you to notice something I think very, very, very powerful. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 27. Verse number 27. Something very, very powerful I want to pull out of this that I hope will be a help to you tonight. And I hope this will encourage you. I hope maybe it'll be a truth that you can apply to your life. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 27. And he arose. Now remember, he's told by the angel of the Lord to get up and to go. And the Bible tells us he arose and went, and I like this word here. Look at this word. We're just going to pull this little word out of verse number 27. It says, and behold. Behold. It's almost as if God puts that word in there in verse number 27, and almost his stamp of approval for the obedience of Philip. God says, behold, meaning this way, it could be a way for us to say it this way. Look at what has happened because Philip chose to obey. Behold. You know, it's kind of like us, maybe perhaps even as we've tried to steer children in the right direction. Have you ever had a time in your life that you could go back to? Maybe parents that have already raised their children that are out of the homes. Maybe parents now that are raising children in the homes that we'd say, we give them a command, we give them something we want them to obey, and then when they do it and they see that there's something good that came from it, we would say, see, look what happened, right? Look what happened. Look what happened because you chose to obey. Have you ever been there as an adult? Have you ever been there? Where you'd say, look at what happened. Things are going to work out good for you because you made a choice to obey. And that's what God is saying here to Philip. Behold, here's this Ethiopian that's traveling. Because you made the choice to obey, now God's going to guide you and he's going to give you the next step. You know, in Philip's life, we're seeing a pattern here that God is calling Philip to places of service and Philip is obeying. Well, God called him to Samaria, didn't he? Philip begins, of course, the process of these early believers scattering around to places. And we read about it in chapter number 8 as Philip went to Samaria and this great revival breaks out because Philip goes where God tells him to go. So at first it was Samaria, and now the step is to go to a desert. Now you're to go to a desert, and you're going to meet up with this Ethiopian eunuch. Can I say this? We know many of us tonight, maybe not all of us. I guess I shouldn't just assume that all of us do, but I'd say many of us tonight know the end of this story. So we know what happens here in Acts chapter number 8, or at least the majority of us, I'd say, would know what happens. Philip's going to have an opportunity to give the gospel to this Ethiopian eunuch, isn't he? And can I say this? That is just like God. God uses men to give the gospel message to this lost and dying world. God wants to use us. But it goes back to the first principle or the first point tonight. We have to be willing to obey. So here's Philip. Matter of fact, God is now giving him special tasks, special jobs to do. He is a faithful preacher of the Word of God. And now all of a sudden, God is another task to Philip. Now he's going to be a concerned soul winner. So he's a faithful preacher. We read about it already, didn't we? He preaches and Simon the sorcerer believes. Those that are in the city of Samaria, they believe. So God is using Philip as a faithful preacher, but now he's going to get to use him as a concerned soul winner to be able to present the gospel to one individual. Many have believed in Samaria, but now God's going to allow this one individual in the as he travels towards Ethiopia to be able to have a concerned soul winner come by his way and share the gospel with him. Now, notice the location in which he's going. Look at verse 26, if you would. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, there's going to be something very important, and I've already said there's going to be something very important. I'm going to come back to it at the very end of the message. It's going to be an application here. But let's concentrate just on a minute of where God is asking him to go. Gaza is one of 5 Philistine cities, about 2.5 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. This is a very rough and it's a very needy place. God is asking him to go to a place that would, again, the potential of meeting this one Ethiopian eunuch. He's asking to leave everything that's going on in Samaria and go travel to this rough place or this desert place. I think there's an application here. God's telling Philip to go to a desert place. You know, many times as Christians, I think here's the application for us. Many times as Christians, we would like to choose the path of least resistance. We would like to choose the easy path. For Philip, this particular command that God gives him is not the easy path. It's not the path of least resistance. But he goes to a desert place. You know, sometimes God might call us to a path that's not so easy. But I could say tonight, thank God for Christians who have the spirit of faith and who have a spirit of obedience and who have zeal in their lives enough to say that even in the tough task, even in the task that maybe I don't always understand everything, even the path that's not the path of least resistance or not the easiest path, I'm going to go and I'm going to do what God asked me to do. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 30, if you would. Notice this, verse number 30. And Philip, how does the Bible tell us he gets to this chariot? Did you see this? How does he get there? He ran. He had some zeal about obeying the Lord, didn't he? He didn't just walk to that chariot. The Bible says he runs to that chariot. And then here's what we're going to find next. I want you to notice, number 1, the obedience of Philip. But then number two tonight, and again, I hope we draw applications all throughout the message. I hope we draw applications from this tonight, because I think we can learn. I think we can apply things if we'll do that, if we'll allow God to speak to us tonight. Number one, we notice the obedience of Philip. But number two, I want you to notice this, the observation of Philip. I want us to notice the obedience of Philip, but then I want us to see the observation of Philip. Notice what Philip observes, when he gets to this chariot. Notice the observations he makes. Look with me, if you would, at the end of verse number 30. He said, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, there's a lot just in verse number 30. We're going to take the time just to talk about a few things. Notice the end of verse number 30, that the Bible tells us he is reading in the prophet Isaiah. Now, I think that's very significant. We're going to get to what he's reading here in just a moment, because he happens to be reading from Isaiah chapter number 53. But could you pause for a minute and could you consider this tonight? Maybe you've never considered this about the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and I want you to consider it tonight. Would you, in your heart, concentrate upon this tonight? Do you think it was by chance that when Philip ran up to that chariot, that man just happened to be reading out loud from Isaiah 53? That's not by chance, was it? Matter of fact, because Philip was willing to obey, that's point number one, right? Because Philip was willing to obey and he got up and he did things exactly when God asked him to do it, that when he arrived at that chariot, as he's obeying the Lord, that was the very spot that Ethiopian eunuch happened to be reading in Isaiah chapter 53, which, if you know anything about Isaiah 53, and we'll get to it in just a moment, it's talking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think that was by chance? No way. No way. It was a divine appointment from Almighty God, wasn't it? That Philip would arrive at that chariot right when he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And I want you to notice this. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 30 again. At the end of the verse, he said this, understandest thou what thou readest? You know, Philip, in his way of concern as a soul winner, he uses that question as a opportunity to get into the gospel. Did you notice how Philip does that? Understandest thou what thou readest? Have you ever had a time where you've witnessed to somebody and perhaps the Lord gave you an idea of how you could get the subject, maybe perhaps off of earthly things and onto eternal things, and God allowed the subject to transition to things of eternity in just such a smooth way? That's what Philip does here. He says, do you understand what you are reading? God gives him the opportunity to turn the conversation to spiritual things. But let's notice what Philip observed. Look at verse 31, if you would. And he says, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Notice verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? I want you to notice two observations that Philip makes when he talks to this Ethiopian eunuch. Number one. Tonight, concentrate on this. Number one, he observed a lost man. He observed a lost man. Now, can I say God loved this man? Because God loves every lost person, doesn't he? He loves every sinner. God loved this Ethiopian eunuch enough that he sent a soul winner to That's how much God loves the lost. You know, the Bible says the Son of Man, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Philip observes a lost man. God had put a love in Philip's heart, a concern for the soul of this man, in such a way that he asked that question to approach eternity, to approach the gospel. And that's exactly what we ought to desire tonight. That God would put enough love in our heart and enough concern for lost people that it would drive our hearts to be able to share the gospel and to try to know the love of Christ with others and to try to meet the needs of those that are lost. God desires that his message of salvation and his message of love is carried and delivered to those who are lost, those who we observe around us that are lost. But God needs the faithfulness of his children to share the gospel. And here's Philip observing this lost man and the faithfulness in his heart to say that God has entrusted this message with me. God has entrusted this mission to me. And I have to be concerned enough as a soul winner not only to obey God, but to observe that this man is lost and this man needs to hear the message of the gospel. Can I say by way of application tonight that you and I have been entrusted with the same mission, haven't we? We have been entrusted with the same message. Our mission is to give the gospel out to those that are lost. Our message is to take the message of the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done, and share it with others. And can I say this? If we fail to do that, if we fail to deliver this message, there is no other plan. Because God says, I am using you as my people to shine the light of the gospel to those that are lost. If we fail to do what God desires for us to do, what he's commanded us to do, commissioned us to do, there is no other option. There's no alternative. God says, I'm using my people, the word of God, to share the light of the gospel to the. I ask you this question. Are you concerned enough to observe the lost that are around you? Here's Philip obeying the Lord, and then there's several observations that he makes about this man. Number one, he observes the fact that this man is lost, but I want you to notice number two, Philip also observed. He didn't observe a lost man, he observed a man that was seeking, a man that desired to know God. We've read through what the Ethiopian eunuch says. I think you would acknowledge along with me, he's desiring to know God. He wants to know God. He's seeking. He's wanting answers. As a matter of fact, let's go through these verses real quick. Verse number 30, the Bible tells us he's reading. He's reading. I mean, he's seeking enough to read the Bible, right? He's seeking enough to read the Word of God. Now, we understand that certainly this is a part of what God's doing to work in his life. But he's seeking after God. He's seeking the things of the Lord. And then the Bible tells in verse 31, look at this if you would. He says, how can I except a man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So now not only is he reading from the Bible, the scripture, the prophecy, but he's also asking Peter, would you come and sit with me? He's seeking enough where he's saying, I want you to talk to me about this. And sometimes that's the step that really we need to get to with the gospel. We need to have somebody seeking enough of God to say, I want you to talk to me about this. You know, when we go out, we have opportunities to soul win. Sometimes we will not get to that step with people. Sometimes we'll ask them, hey, can we take the Bible and can we show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven? And some are not seeking God enough to even want that step. No, I don't want you to talk to me about it today. But you know, there are others that do want you to take that step. Yes. I want you to share with me from God's word how I can know Jesus as my Savior. And Philip's saying that. He's saying, I'm asking you to get up in this chariot so you can share the word. And the Bible even tells us in verse number 31, look at this, it says this, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Again, he's seeking now, and his way of seeking is he's asking questions. I'm wanting to know, is Isaiah speaking about himself here? Or is he speaking about another man? He's asking questions to try to find the answers to his questions. Look with me if you would. If you'd keep your place there in Acts chapter number 8, I want you to notice a very powerful verse. Look at Jeremiah if you would. Chapter 29. And look with me when you find Jeremiah 29 down to verse number 13. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 13. Notice the two things that Philip observed about this man. Number one, he's a lost man. He needs to be saved. Number two, he's a seeker. He's seeking. He has questions. He wants me to talk to him. He's reading through the Bible. He's seeking for answers. Notice what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 13, if you would. It says these words, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." What is God saying? God's saying, those that seek and those that search, they're going to find me. That's exactly what's happening with this Ethiopian eunuch. Philip notices him as a lost man, and the Bible tells us he notices him as a seeker. Now, notice, remember what the Bible said about this Ethiopian eunuch? He had come to Jerusalem. Do you remember why the Bible told us he had come to Jerusalem? He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, here's what we would say about the Ethiopian eunuch, because we identified him as a lost man, haven't we? This man came to he had come to Jerusalem from Ethiopia for the purpose of worshiping, and he went to Jerusalem, but the Bible tells us he had not found eternal life. So yes, he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, but he's still seeking. He's still trying to find eternal life. So let's remember what job this man has. The Bible tells us he works for the queen of Ethiopia, and he works as in the treasury. We would identify this man as a man who had great success, as a man who we would even use the label maybe great prestige. But he had no satisfaction in his heart, did he? You know, there are so many today that might have success, and they might be in a position of power or a position of prestige, but they just have no satisfaction in their heart. Some of you, many years ago, there's the story that people were telling about how that Tom Brady, that big interview they had with Tom Brady after he had won, I believe it was his 7th Super Bowl or however many he's won. And they had that interview with him. And at the very end of the interview, he said, "As exciting as it has been to win all of these Super Bowls," he said, "there has to be something more to life." He made that statement. There has to be something more to life. I've got power and prestige and maybe some success, but there's no satisfaction in my heart. And that's what this man is looking for. As a matter of fact, he travels all the way to Jerusalem to find it. But the Bible tells us his trip left him still searching for answers. To you tonight, the best I know how to say, there are people seeking today. They're seeking for answers. Miss Lisa, I'm not going to go into detail about it, but she shared with us a story right before the service about somebody who needs the answers. Christ is the answer, isn't he? And you know, there are individuals today who are seeking today for the answers. And Christ is the answer, isn't he? They're seeking to have their heart and their soul satisfied. Here's what Philip ran into. Philip ran into a lost man, but he also observed a man who was seeking. But tonight, as we talk about this man seeking after God, isn't it wonderful to know? We just read it in Jeremiah chapter 29. That God is so faithful that when we are searching and when we are seeking after Him, He gives us an opportunity to find Him. And oh, I'm so thankful that throughout the Word of God, there's example after example of individuals who've been searching after Jesus and they've been seeking for the answers that they need in life. Their heart is not satisfied. They might have success, they might have power, but there's still an emptiness there. They're seeking after God, and God is so faithful that when we're willing to seek and we're willing to search, He'll give us an opportunity to find Him. Would you notice the last thought tonight? We noticed the obedience of Philip. We noticed the observation of Philip. But I want us to lastly notice the opportunity for Philip. We noticed his obedience. And then we noticed because he obeyed, there was a man who the Bible allowed him to make several observations about. He observed the fact that he was lost. And he observed the fact that he was a seeker. And now God is going to give him an opportunity. Now, several months back, when we had Brother Hay here for our revival, you remember Brother Hay made a statement. And I've challenged you with it several times because it spoke to my heart that night. He said, "If you ask God for opportunities, He will give them to you." Here is an opportunity that the Bible tells us God gives to Philip. We see his obedience, we see his observation, but now we're going to notice the opportunity for Philip. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 35. Verse number 35, the Bible says this, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him," who? Jesus. Oh, what a powerful truth there. God gave Philip an opportunity, and you know, Philip could have made a choice to say, well, it's not real convenient right now to share the gospel with you. Or I tell you what, I'm looking at my watch. There's other things I've got to do. No, he took advantage of the opportunity, didn't he? And you know, today in our lives, we're either going to take advantage of opportunities God gives us, or we're going to let them slide right by us. But God desires that we take the opportunities he has given to us to be able to share his word with others. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 35. The Bible says he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Well, what is the same scripture? Well, it's the scripture that he was reading from the book of Isaiah. Remember, I told you we would go there. Would you take the time real quick to go to Isaiah 53, just for a moment. Isaiah 53, eunuch is reading in Isaiah 53. It starts in verse number, we're going to start in verse number 3 here. In verse number 3 of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55. And here's what Philip is going to identify for this man. He's going to identify the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy that you are reading about. He's going to preach about Jesus. Jesus is the one that fulfilled this. Isaiah chapter 53, we'll actually start in verse number 4. Let's start in verse number 4. It says this, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Remember, the Ethiopian eunuch's a little confused because he's searching for answers. He said, is he talking about himself or is he talking about some other man? Well, Philip wants to identify he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is going to fulfill this. Look at verse 5 if you would. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Verse 7 and 8 are the verses that he is reading there in the chariot. He says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Jesus is the one that's going to this prophecy, and Philip is using it as a wonderful opportunity to be able to spread the word of God to this man. Now, did you notice there was a couple steps that are taking place here? Look with me, if you would, at verse number 36. It says in this, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now notice verse 37, "And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So here's the promise. The Bible tells us the eunuch had read about Jesus. He was still searching, so he didn't know he was reading about Jesus. But the process started off with the fact that he was reading about Jesus. Then Philip lets him hear about Jesus. Now the Bible tells us he takes his mouth and he opens his mouth and he gives him the gospel. He gives him the good news. And so now the eunuch is going to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Now what does the Bible say in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I believe it's very clear to us. We could look at this passage of Scripture and know that Philip gave to him the gospel. He was able to hear. And as a result of hearing, he was able to put his faith in the Lord. Now, I think there is a huge application here for us. A humongous application. We've got to get this tonight. When God gives us opportunities to present the gospel to somebody, we need to be ready, or maybe I'll use the word able, to share the gospel with others. We need to be prepared to be able to share our faith. Let me ask you tonight, if you had the opportunity to share with somebody how they could be saved, would you know how to do that? Would you know how to share your faith with someone else? If you're at a place here tonight where you say, you know, I'll be honest with you, if God gave me that opportunity, I don't even know where I would go. I don't even know how I would share my faith. Can I say this? A couple thoughts. Number one, one of the greatest things we can do is just share with people what God has done for us. So we can give our testimony. Say, hey, this is what happened in my life. And a testimony certainly is a way for us to share the gospel with us. But if you're at a point where you say, I think I'd like to go a little deeper than that. Well, then, if that's the case, if that's where you're at right now, please come and let me know that. And we'll be able to share with you some thoughts that we could give you that would help you to be able to share your faith with somebody else. There's some verses that I believe we should memorize. I'm should be prepared, whether we have our Bible or not, to be able to say, if God gives me the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, I want to be ready. And I want to know where to go in the Bible so that I could explain to somebody that they're a sinner, that there's a punishment for their sin, but God loves the sinner, and they've got to get to a place where they, in faith and repentance, call on the Lord and ask Him to be their Savior. Would you be ready? If God gave you the opportunity, would you be ready to share your faith with somebody else? I think as God's people, as Christians, we need to be at that place in our life. We shouldn't have fear if somebody comes up to us and say, hey, I know you're a Christian. Would you be able to share with me how I could be saved? It shouldn't be a fear to say, well, am I going to know what to say? No, let's make sure we get ourselves prepared. And then the Bible tells the next part of the process. He reads the Word of God. Then Philip shares with him the Word of God as he hears it. But then the Bible tells us he receives the Word of God, doesn't he? He receives the Word of God. Remember, he was a lost man, but now he's saved, isn't he? He was a seeker, he was searching, and now he's found. You know, the Bible tells us God, in obedience, allowed Philip to observe some things about this man, and then he gave him an opportunity to present the gospel message. Now, we read just a moment ago, verse number 37, it says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. What is the Ethiopian eunuch asking there? Well, he's saying, I see some water here. And he's saying, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, there's several things we want to say about this. A person does not get baptized until saved. I mean, we believe that very clearly in the Bible. The Bible shows us that over and over and over again. A person has to put their faith and trust in the Lord in order to be baptized. So Philip then responds. And he says, well, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is. Can I say this? Our church, the only Bible that we preach and we teach from is the King James Version. I think we've made that very clear. We stand by that as a church. I believe, obviously, as the preacher of the church, I believe that it's the most accurate translation for English-speaking people. And I want to preach. We want to memorize from it. We want to make sure that we're only teaching that's done is from this version of the Bible. Can I say that most modern versions of the Bible leave that verse out that I just read to you? They leave verse 37 out? Now, it might be in some kind of a footnote. It might be on the page somewhere as an extra verse or an extra spot in there. But they have left that verse out. They've left out really the truth of the gospel. The fact that baptism is not what is going to save you. Because if we left that verse out, then it would look like this. He says, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And if you leave out verse number 37, verse number 38 says, well, they came, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water. So there's baptism that takes place next, but you've left the verse that talks about believing out. Well, there's a reason. There is a reason why we have this Bible. And there's a reason why we say that this is the most accurate Bible that we could have for English-speaking people. I mean, the Bible either has the words of God or it doesn't. And I'm so thankful we have the words of God for us. And verses that are so important like that share the gospel are not left out. I'm so thankful for that. Well, the Bible tells us this man receives the word of God. By the way, I think very quickly there in verse number 37, we see the importance of putting your faith in the Lord. And then when he gets saved, the Bible says, then he gets the Bible pattern, isn't it? We get saved, we believe, and then we are baptized. True believers. True believers are going to want to be obedient. They're going to want to be obedient. And one of those steps of obedience is to say, I want to follow God's command in baptism. So if a person doesn't want to be baptized, then really we would say it this way, they're not wanting to obey the Lord. They're not wanting to follow God and His commandments that He has given to us. Because He very clearly tells us that if we're saved, that command that He gives us is baptized. And so if a person doesn't want to do that, they're not truly desiring to obey the Lord. And then I'll say it this way too. If we're not willing to make that step of obedience, it's going to be hard to make future steps of obedience as well. We've got to make that step of obedience. Oh, how important it is to obey the Lord. And then another great truth I think we see in verse number 39, it says, and when they were come up out of the water. I think that shows us the wonderful picture that baptism is by immersion. It's not just sprinkling water on somebody. It's not just saying, well, as an infant, even though you haven't put your faith and trust in the Lord, we could just sprinkle some water on you maybe call it some kind of holy water. They came up out of the water, which means there was an immersion that took place. But let's finish this. Look with me at verse number 39 at the very end of the verse. It says, then when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip that the eunuch saw him no more. Now, I don't know exactly how God did this, but somehow the Bible tells the Holy Spirit took Philip away. And the Ethiopian eunuch did not see him anymore. But would you notice? We've got to catch this. Look at what happens at the end of verse number 39. Look at how Philip left, though. Or excuse me, how the Ethiopian eunuch left. And he went on his way. What's the last word? Rejoicing. What does salvation do? Salvation brings joy, doesn't it? Matter of fact, we talked about it this morning. If we're going to worship God the right way, worship, true worship, involves joy. There better be joy in our hearts as we worship the Lord. When you're singing, give it your all. Give it your all. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's have some gladness in our hearts. Let's have some joy. Let's not be miserable Christians. Let's not be grumpy Christians. Let's not be complaining and murmuring Christians. Let's have some joy in our lives. He says that's what happens when you get saved. There's in our lives that comes along with it. And then notice verse number 40, the Bible says Philip keeps on preaching. Notice he keeps on preaching. Look at verse number 40. He was taken away from the eunuch, but he keeps preaching. Look at verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Bible tells he's going up that coast towards Caesarea. And as he is approaching that coast, as he goes towards Caesarea, every single city the Bible says he passes through, he preaches. Did you notice a word there in verse 40? He preached in all the cities. Every city as he goes up the coast there heading towards Caesarea. What a testimony of the way the Lord is using the life of Philip. Now, at the end of the message, I would draw a big application for you, and here we are. We've gotten to the end of the message. And it's just a simple thought, but I think it's an application that we really need to make in our lives tonight. Now, here's what God did with Philip. God asked Philip to leave a great revival that was going on in Samaria to go to a desert to be a soul winner to one man that needed to know Jesus. The importance of the step of obedience that Philip made. God always has, here's the application tonight, God always has a purpose in anything he calls us to do. You know, Philip might have thought to question, well, I don't know if I understand the timing in all of this. God, there's a great revival going on here in Samaria. Why would you have me leave this great revival to go to a desert, a place where I'm not going to be able to preach to a crowd like here. I'm not going to see all those people believe that I've been able to see here in Samaria. Philip could have questioned the timing and all of it. He could have questioned the fact that God didn't give him any explanation. When we're reading through the passage of scripture that we read through tonight, when the angel of the Lord told him to go to Gaza, did he tell him why? He didn't tell him why. He didn't give him any explanation at all. He didn't say, I want you to go to Gaza because you're going to meet a man, and that man's going to be sitting in a chariot, and you're going to get to hear him reading the book of Isaiah, and then you're going to get to share the gospel with him. He's going to be gloriously saved. Then he's going to be baptized. And then I'm going to send you up to Caesarea preaching in every single city. God didn't lay out any of those details for him, did he? But yet he still chose to obey. Can I say this? I guess the application tonight is this. God always has a purpose in every one of his callings. So if he calls you to do something, just obey. And then perhaps as you've obeyed, you'll be able to observe some things like Philip is able to observe about this man tonight, that he was lost, that he was a searcher, a seeker. And then God may just give you an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, to share the gospel with somebody. And if we would really concentrate on the end of the story. Now here's the end of the story. What we don't see in Scripture is this. The Bible says the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing, right? Well, where does the Bible tell us he's going back to? He's going back to Ethiopia. Guess what that Ethiopian eunuch's going to do? He's going to go back to Ethiopia for the purpose of being a blessing and sharing the gospel with those that are there. See, God has a plan in all of it, doesn't he? He has a purpose in all of it. And if Philip wouldn't have chosen to obey, or if his eyes were not open to observe the needs of somebody, or if he didn't take advantage of the opportunity, that would have just passed him by. So tonight, the applications, let's obey God. Let's know that when he calls us, there's a reason. Let's be sensitive enough in our hearts to observe when people around us have needs so that we can share God with them and maybe even have opportunities to share the gospel with them as well. And then let's be the Christian that will take advantage of those opportunities God gives us. Father, I thank you for the challenge from the Word of God tonight. I thank you for the challenge in this story here of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip who obeyed and observed.